with your staff. What a wonderful, wonderful staff. And they're a blessing to me inside the association, as many of you are. The leadership that comes from First Baptist Brookhaven is phenomenal. And I praise God for each one of you that serve on the association level and then throughout your church. Don't take your staff for granted. Give them, just give the Lord a hand of praise for your staff right now. Would you do that? Just praise the Lord for them. What a blessing they are. So many times they're taken, in church staff, they're taken for granted. And Brother Greg, been praying for you. If you're listening, I don't take it lightly to stand in any of the pulpits, and thank you for allowing me to step into this place this morning. I hate that he is sick and at home, but I thank God that I had the opportunity to come. And he texted me on Friday after noon. I was headed to the coast, and he said, "I got the flu. Can you preach for me on Sunday?" And I said, "Yes, would be glad to." And so on the way to the coast, I just asked the Lord, I said, "God, what about it? Where do we need to go for Sunday morning?" And God took me to Ephesians chapter 2. And so I want you to take your copy of God's word as we go there. And I want you to think in this morning in regards to but God moments. But God moments. I asked several folks that I know very well. Many of you go way back with us in life. Selena's to my right this morning, your left. I'm so thankful that she's able to be with us this morning. We're going through some things with her dad. Many of you are so close to her family. And Selena growing up here, know many of you. And so you be praying for her dad, one of the Tommy Smiths in Brookhaven. But we're going through some things with that. And so you be praying for him and lifting him up and lifting her up and as we deal with those issues. But I'm so thankful that she's able to be here with me this morning. God moments. I want you to be thinking about some God moments in your life. Even this morning, I came in, I was speaking to some folks that I've known for a long time, and I went back in my mind's eye, and I can remember as 16 years old, one of the first mission trips that I ever went on. Larry Barlow was pastor at Mount Moriah at that time, and we went to Montana, Coast Trip, Montana, Lame Deer, Montana. And God began, I look back at my life today, and that's where some things really started for me and brought me to the point to where we are today. Selena and I took a trip out west not too many years ago, and I told her, I said, on the way back, I want to go through Coast Trip, Lame Deer, and we did, and just kind of reminisced a little bit, Nick. And I think about those moments that you and I spent in Katrina days, but God moments, and how God used those moments. I want you to think about those but God moments. Maybe you're taking notes this morning, and you just begin to write. Some of you have greatly influenced my life and through the years, even watching from a distance and even being away from Brookhaven for 22 and a half years and looking at what was taking place and influence that comes through those moments and how God used you. And but God moments are where we actually see the hand of God at work. Blackaby would call them spiritual markers. And to think about those but God moments and significant moments in life where life really happens due to God's intervention. And maybe we don't even see it at those particular moments. And so I want you to think and maybe take some time over the next week to go through your copy of God's word and look at but God passages. In most all translations, it's 40 plus 47, 48 verses that have but God in them. If you use the New English translation, it has 587 references to but God. And so you think about those directions in life and how God's moving us and moving you in your particular life. Maybe it's a point of repentance and change is what we're going to talk about in just a moment and how God changed directions totally in your life. We know in today's world that the average person will change their careers 5 to 7 times. We know that college folks, our high schoolers that go on to college and more are changing their majors over and over and over again, trying to figure out where they want to go and then looking back at what God really wants to do in their life as they mature. So those but God moments, those game-changing moments in life. And so Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and we find it about AD 60, AD 61, 62, somewhere in that neighborhood. Paul is on house arrest in Rome, and he's writing to this church at Ephesus. And if you'll notice in the midst of that, doesn't have anything bad to say. And he's taking in, he's writing it based on unification, bringing the church together, Jews and Gentiles alike, under the common denominator of Jesus Christ. And could I just say to you this morning that Jesus Christ is still the common denominator? It's not about a denomination. It's not about those kinds of things. It's about being under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we choose where we're going to serve and where we're going to live out our faith. And so Paul is looking at that this morning, and I want you to join with me there. Chapter 2, let's follow along in your copy of God's Word, and then we're going to unpack a few things as we look at this verse these verses this morning. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." Now think about this. As you read this and think about it this morning, you'll think maybe me and Nick kind of conjured up worship this morning because it fits right in where we're going. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." Verse 3. "Among them we too all listened, formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." And here we go. Verse 4. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Jesus Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." And a verse that many probably have memorized this morning. "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship." One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Verse 11, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." In verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." Let's go to the Lord. Father, this morning, may your power be upon your word, and God is your messenger this morning in the word that we have. And Holy Spirit of God, as we sang it a moment ago, open our eyes. God, I pray that we came in this morning prepared for an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. And God, that you would just open our eyes this morning, open our spiritual eyes, that God, we may see the truth of where we are in our relationship with you and our walk with you, and God, the desires that you have for us, that God, we would evaluate and look at your direction, and we think about these but God moments. Father, that, Lord, you refresh us this morning, Holy Spirit of God. And I join with the family of First Baptist lifting up your pastor, Brother Greg, this morning. God, as he's ailing, and your touch right there where he's had in his home, God, healing today, strengthening today. Thank you for this opportunity, God, in Christ's name. Amen. But God moments. You see, but God moments, when we think about that, reveal the very character of God. But God moments reveal the fact that he loves us more than we love ourselves, that he desires to protect us, that he desires to move in our life. And Paul, in addressing the unity of the church at Ephesus, was so glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ and wanting people to come together. And we need that in today's world, that you and I are better together as we serve in the kingdom of God, doing what he's called us to do. And so as you go back and you take a look and you start in the Old Testament and you begin to move forward, you'll find that Noah was one of the first ones that you'll find that word, but God remembered Noah. Think about all that Noah went through. And I don't have time to unpack all of that for you this morning, but as you begin to look and examine and you think about that but God moment in Noah's life, that God gave him a mandate, a direction to go and build an ark. And there wasn't any rain. And I'm sure people made fun of him and called him names and thought he was crazy and all that kind of stuff until the rain started. Until the rain started. And don't miss that little part in that story of Noah to where it says, and God shut the door. And God shut the door. I've often wondered about that and what God does in our life. And so many times God moves in our life and God does things in our life because you and I would want to change it. But it's a but God moment. And God shut that door, and I can only imagine, Selena, I've talked about it, and I preached it many times, as probably Brother Greg has, when the rain started, and it rained, and the water began to rise, and people began to beat on the ark, and beat on the ark, and beat on the ark. And Noah couldn't let them in. Why? Because God had closed the door. But God moments are life-changing for us. Think about as you go with me through Genesis and you move over to Genesis chapter 50 and you'll find where Joseph and his brothers, and you know the story there most likely, and Joseph tells them, says, you intended to harm me. But what, you intended to harm me, but you know, Satan wanted the evil, but God took it and God made it for good and God protected him. And you move through and you begin to see in the New Testament and a verse that's used so much out of context in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, when it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So many times that verse is misquoted because we'll say, and you'll read it in social media and different things, and people say, well, you know, God won't ever put more on you than you can stand. That's not true. God wants to put enough on us that it'll drive us to Him. You and I can't handle it on ourselves, but we use that verse that's related to temptation, that in our own life and struggles, and sometimes we just need to be driven to our knees so that we'll learn to depend upon God, that we'll learn to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Significant moments, significant movements in life, those but God moments. And we need to be reminded this morning that those moments don't take God by surprise. So many times you and I are taken by surprise. The tragedy this week in Washington. I was sitting at home on that night, and about 9 o'clock, I saw it when it came up, and I said, my, oh my. Then you know the days it's unfolded. And I thought what it must have been like, even a conversation yesterday, the surprise of the moments. Life is so uncertain, folks, this morning. And you and I need to know that God is the steadfast. Young people, you need to know that God is the foundation. He's a steadfast one. Doesn't catch him by surprise. So that's why you and I need to be ready. And so we think about these but God moments. The first thing that I want to unpack for you this morning is the fact that but God moments really are life changers. They change your life. Could I ask you to take a moment and just go back to your but God moment this morning? I hope that you've had one to where Jesus Christ came into your life. It might have been in a situation like we are in today, in a service like we're in today, or it may have been in your home. Maybe in a youth camp or on a trip. Might have been by yourself in a hospital room. Might have been driving down the highway, but you had a but God moment where the Holy Spirit of God began to move upon your life. And you changed your life. You gave your life. You surrendered your life. And you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and come into your life and change your life. See, Paul is looking back and he's encouraging and he's looking forward. And as those folks move forward, and he says, you were dead. Look what it says. You were dead in your trespasses and your sins. We were all dead. If you're in this building this morning or online watching and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're dead in your sin. You're dead in your trespasses. And so Paul is telling him, saying, you were dead. And he's talking spiritually speaking there. And this morning as we look back and we think about that as a follower of Christ, spiritually sick without Jesus, spiritually dead and sin and trespasses. What does that mean for us this morning? It literally means to deviate from the right path. In simple terms, that's what it means, just to deviate from the right path. That path would be God's path. And so Paul is saying you were once dead because you deviated from the path. I want to ask you this morning, are you on God's path? In your point in life today, right now in this moment, are you where God wants you to be? If not, why? What's keeping you from it? What's keeping you from being all that God wants you to be? Those "but God" moments, they change our life. And what Paul is literally saying there, that those trespasses and those sins, and at one time you were dead. If you're born again today, you were dead. You were separated from a holy God. You and I need to understand this morning, sin is what separates us from the pathway that God has for us. And that's why it's important to seek God's forgiveness and to cry out and surrender. Somebody this morning may be missing the mark. Somebody may be wondering, and you're miserable in life, and you're thinking, man, Brother Dave, I gave my life to Christ back some time ago, but I'm miserable. I want to ask you this morning, are you walking at a far distance from God? Have you got away from that "but God" moment to where the voice of God is a quiet whisper? I want you to think about that this morning, for the Bible says to us, somebody's probably debating and thinking in their life, but Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, for all have missed the mark and fallen short of the glory of God." That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our life. For you think about our life, we were created to glorify God, and back in the Garden of Eden, the fall of man, sin entered into the world, and life would never be the same. The plan of God would never be the same. Paul goes on and he says, you know, for those that think about it now, he's talking to believers, that you were dead in your sins and trespasses, and he says, you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Shane Pruitt says that a Christianity that you find and you adhere to and you come to, but it allows you to live your life just like you were prior to, is a Christianity that's far to the New Testament. Why is that? Because when you come to Jesus, life changes. Priorities change. Careers change. Different things change. And Paul goes on there and he's talking. I think it's interesting if you unpack that this morning and just looking at it. He said, formerly you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's working in the sons of disobedience. What is he talking about there? He's talking about Satan himself, but the spirit of disobedience is the spirit of Antichrist. And guys and ladies, we forget so many times the power of God and what he really wants to do in our life. The lust of the flesh and the depraved nature of man. And so many times we want our cake and we want to have our cake and eat it too, and it doesn't work that way with God. Had somebody in my office not too long ago, and we were talking and dealing with a child, and he said, I know that my child is saved, and because of some recent actions, he said, they've got to be miserable. I said, you're right. You can't live with the things of the world and the depraved nature of the world and then glorify Christ. It doesn't work that way. And so many times we wonder why we don't have the power of God upon our life. And if we just take time to look at it, we walk at that far distance from God, because God is a life changer. And without Jesus Christ, doomed to hell with no hope. And that's what Paul is talking about there when he's writing and talking from that standpoint. And he says there, among them that you formerly lived according to the flesh, the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the minds, and were by nature children of wrath. So many times we wonder why we don't have the power of God on our life. And if we just take a moment and get truthful for God, we're not where God wants us to be in life, even as born-again Christians. We've allowed things to come into our life, and we're thinking about from the standpoint of what God wants to do. Even when we were dead, even when we were spiritually dead in our sins and trespasses, God cared. And you know, that's the beauty of the changed life. that's the beauty of verse 4, because we get down to verse 4, and after Paul says, you know, you were formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, but God, being rich in mercy, his great love. I hope you took time to thank God for his love and mercy this morning. I hope you took time to thank God for his grace. Before we entered into this time this morning, that you just took a moment. God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Because of my changed life, God, I thank you that you cared enough for me that Jesus Christ went to the cross. That agape love is still sufficient today. Romans 5, 8, a great but God verse. But God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, you know the rest of it. Christ died for us. Wow. But God moments. But God moments that literally change our life. In verse 8, by grace we're saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of our works. Why is that? Because it says that we couldn't boast about it. See, so many times we're guilty, and I've been guilty. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I've been able to do. And if we're honest this morning, you have to. But really, it's but God moments. It's the fact that God has moved into my life, in your life, and he's changed us. And we really need to get on our knees before God and say, thank you, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. So look across the building this morning, a lot of folks that I went to school with, Nancy was the first one, came up, talked to me this morning, and she and I graduated together, and I thank God for what he's done in her life and Rob's life and their family and all of that. And some of you, you know, you think about where we were in life, business and all of that. I'm so glad God didn't leave us where we were. Aren't you glad? That's a great place for somebody to say amen. Think about where you were. Think about what God's done in your life. And you think about where you are today. But God moments. How God has worked in your life and how God's brought you to where you are today, sitting in this building on this day, the second day of February 2025. Look what God has done. Amazing moments. Those God moments in life. Free gifts of God. We can't earn it. Man, some of us have worked so hard. When I was on the coast pastoring, one of my good friends, Mr. Errol Brown, his brother was Southern Highway District Commissioner for a long time, and I got to know that family well. Mr. Errol Brown would come in every Sunday morning, and he would sit to my left. And he and I formed a great relationship to the point he'd be at Lowe's or he'd be somewhere, and he'd call me and he'd say, hey, Brother Dave, you at home? I still got his voicemail. If I had my phone, I'd play it for you. I got his last voicemail he sent me. Brother Dave, this is Harold. You at home? Yeah, I'm at home, Brother Harold. Selena could tell you. Or at the office, didn't matter. When he did that, he was going to bring something by. It was either tools on sale at Lowe's or vegetables or something he was going to bring by. And I love Mr. Harold. Got his picture in my office, if you come in my office. Him and Miss Sue Brown. And I watched him week in and week out after I got to know him well, sitting about the third row on this side, and he would struggle. People would go to him. Mr. Harold was not a believer. People would go to him, and they would try to talk to him. He'd do like that. Not in an ugly way. He just, I'm not ready. Man, one day I was sitting in my office. Phil McGee, I still get the market bulletin. I don't know if you do or not. But Harold Brown, that was his favorite paper. And he knew that was my favorite paper. And I was sitting in my office one day, and the market bulletin had come, and I had took that paper. I picked it up and began to read that paper, and God, through the Holy Spirit, said, you need to go, you need to call Harold Brown. I called him. I said, Mr. Harold, you at home? He said, yeah, I am. He said, come on, we'll drink some coffee. I said, be there in a minute. He lived a quarter of a mile north of the church. 76 years old. I go up. Pastor Terrell comes to the door. He says, "Come on in, Brother Dave." Come in, we sit down, we started drinking coffee. His market bulletin was on the table. We made small talk a little bit. I said, "Brother Harold," I said, "I love you." He said, "I love you too." I said, "I know that. But," I said, "we got an issue." "What's that?" I said, "I know if you die today, or I die today, you're not going to be in heaven with me. And I want to talk to you about that." I said, "Are you okay with that?" He shook his head. He said, "Brother Dave, yeah." Tears welled up in his eyes. I said, "Brother Harold, I want to talk to you about Jesus." I said, "You're a good person. You've done so much for me. You've done so much. I could call him. He's the guy, Nick, you could call. If you needed something, he'd do it." God had blessed him financially. He'd do it. And I just began to share the plan of salvation. And I said, "Mr. Harold, what you think?" He dropped his head. He said, "I need Jesus." Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, that was a hard guy, 76 years old. Not many people come to Jesus at 76 years old. But Harold Brown, there in his home, bowed his head and asked Jesus to forgive him of everything he had done and come into his life and save him. I was able to baptize Harold Brown. Just a few years later, Frankie called me, his son called me one morning. He said, "Can you get up to Dad's house?" I said, "Yeah." I knew something was up. I came in, and Mr. Harold had got up during the night, come down the hall, and he was laying on the floor, dead. I could preach his funeral in just a few days, and I could thank God for a "but God" moment in Harold Brown's life. And I know one day that I'm going to be able to see him again, because he gave his life to Christ. As you sit in this building this morning, have you had that "but God" moment? Have you had that moment, not dependent on somebody else and not dependent on your goodness and the things that you've done, but that "but God" moment to where you literally came and you said, "God, I need you"? Maybe you're a defeated Christian, or you feel like you're defeated this morning and you need to come back to the throne of grace and just say, "God, I need forgiveness, and I need my joy back." Look back at what God's done, but I want you to think about what God wants to do. Second thing that I want you to understand this morning on "but God" moments, not only does he change your life, but he'll elevate your life. See, so many of us try to do it on our own and try to do the things that we need to do to accomplish things, to build our careers, to build our bank accounts, to build relationships, to do all we can do. Some people even think, "Well, so many people have told me, so I need to do this before I come to Jesus. I need to get right. I need to clean my act up. I need to quit this, or I need to quit that." No, you don't. What do? You come to Jesus, you surrender your life, and guess what? He puts you on the path. And by the way, you don't give up anything when you come to Jesus. You gain it all. You gain it all. Past, present, and future. And what Paul's talking about there, as you look at verse 6, he says that, "And he raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." See, you were once dead in your sin, you were once dead in your trespasses, missing the mark, but God. You surrender to Jesus, and then he elevates your life. And you know, one day we're going to cross over. And if you're born again, you're going to enter into heaven's glory. Raised from being dead in our sins and trespasses to being under the blood of Jesus, having hope, the riches of God's grace, the abundant life. So many people think, "Well, that abundant life, that's over there." No, 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 no. The abundant life's in the here and now. And then he just continues. The old preacher said it gets gooder and gooder. Just gets better when we learn to walk with Jesus. And God shows his kindness so he can be glorified. Is he being glorified in my life or your life? That's a question we need to answer this morning. Is God being glorified? Once dead, no hope but God, life in Jesus. And watch what he does. Those but God moments. Once separated, joined together with Jesus, raised up, seated in heavenly places, on display. Listen to what the Word of God. Don't miss this now. This is something I think we miss. Look at verse 6 and then in verse 7. In order that the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward Christ Jesus. Seated with him in the heavenly places. Right there amongst the angels, and yet the angels are basking at believers under the blood of Jesus. Basking, thinking about it, the mercy of God, the grace of God, nothing you and I could ever do. God did his work, and he's not done yet. Last thing, and I'll close. But God moments, life changers, elevate our life. I mean, here's the thing. Who would ever thought in your life now, think about it. Who would have ever thought in your younger years or yesteryears, or maybe you're just a new Christian, who would have ever thought you'd be where you are in the presence of God today? I never thought God would take somebody raised in Hog Chain, Mississippi and send us literally around the world, 20-something times in Africa, Thailand, Congo, Sudan. Walking across the street and seeing people come to know the Lord, the Harold Browns of life. What about you? You think about those but God moments, and those but God moments, what does it do for us? Not only change our life, not only elevate, but give us a purpose like we've never seen before. Set us on mission like we've never understood before. I love verse 10 when he says, but you are God's workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Listen, for good works. And here's the beauty of that, which God prepared beforehand that you and I could do. The fact that God called us, the fact that he changed us, and the fact that he had a plan. Are you where God wants you to be right now this morning? How many of you got a yappy bracelet? Anybody know what that is in the building? Let me see your hand. Anybody? No hands? Up in the balcony? No? I got one. My daughter gave it to me. And some of the college students probably got them. You young people ain't got them either? Yappy, Y-A-P-P-Y, speaks.com. And you get this bracelet, and I can take my phone and hover it over that bracelet, and it gives me a verse every day. And if we do it in this building, it won't give us the same verse. Casey gave me that, and this morning, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, it's my wife's verse, plans to prosper you, or plans for your welfare, not for evil, not to harm you. And I thought about what God has done in our life, purposeful life. Go online and order you a yappy bracelet. You can get them camouflaged, guys, that's what mine is. It's amazing, just a reminder of what God will do. I love what Paul says there. It's God's workmanship, it's God's plan that no man can boast. See, our prayer and our statement ought to be, look what God has done. Look what God has done. Look what he's doing in the midst of our life. It's all God, those God moments. And the grace of God, that it glorifies God, that in the works of God, and that you and I are created for good works. When's the last time you got real with God? And just said, God, whatever you want, I'll do. God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. God, I surrender. God, I've tried enough on my own. I beat my head against the wall, God, but I surrender, God, and I want you to be glorified. I want that God moment to be so real in my life. So God, this morning, have your way. I went back yesterday and looked at your pastor's series that he's doing. Living out your faith. Being on mission. See, here's the deal. It's easy, as Brother Greg has stated. It's easy to say, oh, I got faith. I believe. But what does our life say? What's happening in our life? What's going on in your life and my life? Because the Word of God says that he's got a purpose for us. And the fact is that you and I, what does that mean? That we're regulated. See, online, people will say, well, it's your life. Go do what you want to. Just go and do. No, listen. What we need to say, no, it's not your life. Jesus Christ paid for it. God created you. So you need to regulate your life according to the will of God. That's what needs to happen for all of us. That we are regulated by the will of God for the purpose of God. And by the way, our life today ought to remind us of the deliverance of God upon our life, that we're not where we used to be. God's not done with us. That little old song that we used to sing as kids, God's still working on me. Man, I'm so thankful for that. I'm not done. I tell you, I want God to use me in unbelievable fashion. I pray over you. You guys are on our Tuesday prayer list. And I pray that God will use you. And I pray for you every Saturday and every Sunday. And your pastor and all of your staff. Call them by name. That God will use them like he's never used them before. That God will use First Baptist Family like he's never used you before. That we recognize the very power of God. Where God wants to take us. And we get out of the way and say, God, I'm open to that. God, I want to be used by you. So, Lord, I surrender this morning. Are you living out God's purpose? Can you truthfully say before God, you can write it down on your notes this morning, I am where God wants me to be and I'm moving forward with him. I hope so. I pray so. I challenge you so. The little song used to say, or says, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Bathed my heart in love. And he wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. I want you to have a talk with Jesus this morning. And I want you to think about those but God moments. Maybe you go home this afternoon. If you're married, you sit down with your wife and spouse and husband and maybe your kids and just begin to write down but God moments. Begin to really think about what God has done and living out God's purpose. Think about priorities and how they've changed. Think about what God's doing in your life. Remember where you were, but think about what God wants to do. He's not done with you yet. Senior adults, he needs you. He's using you. Praise God for your energy. Young adults, young people, you're on a mission. Look at what God wants to do in your life. We're no longer separated as believers. We're under the blood of Jesus. You know, this morning, if you're in this building and you've never asked Jesus to change your life, you never surrendered your life, you never said, God, I need your forgiveness, it'd be a great time to do that. Just a moment, we're going to have a public invitation, and Pastor Nick's going to be down front, and I'll be down as well. But we'd love to talk to you. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, it'd be a great time. For others, you may say, boy, Brother Dave, I've been born again, but I'm not where I need to be. Boy, it'd be a great time. Come to the altar. Come to Pastor Nick. Come to me. Go to somebody. Say, hey, come and pray with me. I need to line it up. I need to get right. I need to be where I need to be. But God moment. God, what do you want from me? God, what do you expect from me in this stage in life? God, what do I need to be doing to walk in your will? As your pastor said so eloquently last week, to be on mission, to do God what you want me to do. God, I want to serve you to the fullest. I love what someone said. I think it was Tim Tebow, actually. Just in recent days, Tebow said, if I get to heaven and I'm well rested, something's wrong. See, I think so many of us want to sit and be well rested and we're going to coast into heaven. I don't want to do that. My wife would tell you, I often prayed over our people. God, exhaust us. Exhaust us for the kingdom of God. Use me up for the kingdom of God. We exhaust ourselves in so many other ways, but what about the kingdom of God? God, exhaust me. God, use me. I want to be used up, God, as I cross over. I want to be worn out for Jesus. Whatever that means in God's eyes is good for me. God, moments. Moments that change your life. Moments that lift you up and elevate you. Moments that give you a purpose. If you don't know him this morning, maybe you're struggling, whatever, come and talk to you, Pastor Nick, this morning. Come and talk to me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our praise team's going to come to the platform. Pastor Nick will be down front. I'll be down to join him. Father, this morning as we bow in this time and right before this public invitation, God, I pray that you would do your work. I pray, God, there's some nervousness maybe on our part this morning, but I pray you would, Holy Spirit of God, that you would take control. And God, I pray right now, Father, that you would open the eyes of our heart, that you would open our feet, that we could enter and walk. You may cause us to come and kneel around this altar. I don't know. Maybe you want us to kneel where you are. Maybe we just need to step out and kneel where we are right there and just say, God, I need to get some things right, God. I missed the mark. God, you saved me, and I walked away. God, this morning, I want a God moment. Maybe some of us need to take our spouse by the hand and head to head and cheek to cheek and just pray this morning. God, calls our family to be who we need to be. Maybe there's some grandparents in the building that just needs to put their hand on top of one another and just say, God calls us to be the grandparents we need to be. Maybe there's some young people sitting in this place this morning that just says, God, I want to be all you want me to be, God, so I surrender. God, help us this morning to be the people that you've called us to be. God moments. May we reflect, but God, may we not stay there. May we move forward, and may you use us for your glory. In Christ's name, stand with us.